Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WYNNbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head on over to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit of up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And also make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 146 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. All right, this episode is going to go out to baseball player Jock Peterson. He needs a little support right now. Not only did he get slapped in the face, but then he had to explain to the whole world that he got slapped in the face because of a fantasy football technicality. So this goes out to him. He's obviously a true degen, just like all the rest of us. Who would be talking to you right now? I would be the Welsh gangster, Jeff Fox, your host of this here podcast. Thank you for coming to the show. Coming off a weekend with no UFC, no Bellator, no PFL, but that doesn't mean it wasn't a profitable weekend, because my co-host gave you some winning picks, including a big plus 160 dog for the weekend action in the other smaller MMA leagues. So if you trailed him, tagged along, whatever you want to say, you made yourself some money still. So that's what this podcast is all about, that and nonsense that we get into. So let's bring in that there co-host of mine. He goes by same nickname every week, kind of boring, not like my ever-changing nicknames, but he's Gumby, Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Hey, you usually start much more negative, no matter what, whether we had a good
do
week
I that's
or not.
Not good. Maybe we'll get more listeners if I'm more like this.
There was just nothing to put a negative spin on, because I'm usually really the positive spin guy. I gotta come in with the positive spin, but you didn't even give me anything I needed to positive up.
Well, I guess, yeah, there's plenty of negative out there, Dan, but I guess not in MMA. Maybe it's because I'm not following BJPenn.com. I don't get to see garbage anymore to rail against. Maybe that's what's going on.
Maybe because Sherdog doesn't score any of these fights.
Yes, right. Do they not? No, I guess they don't.
I mean, I'm not on Sherdog enough to know for sure, but I'm not looking at MMA decisions for their scorecards.
That is true. That is true. Yes, it was a profitable weekend for Dan. And hopefully everybody else who followed him. I did see a headline. Dan Hardy says Paddy Pimblett's going to be a future UFC champ, or he can be a future UFC champ, Dan. So I'm sure that warms your heart.
That's certainly a take.
It is a take. What do you think of his next matchup against Jordan? Leave it alone.
You know, it's funny. That was actually one of the Jordan things Rapp. I was going to bring up. Did you see the opening line on that bad boy? Yeah, it's
no, I did not. It's
so Patty right now is betting off, last I checked, at -240 in that matchup.
Oh my goodness gracious, really? Well, he's not gonna out grapple this man, right?
That's what I said. And look, he's probably got a striking advantage, but like
I don't know. I'm willing to roll the dice on Jordan Leavitt, like plus two. You know, I didn't see his return line, but you got to imagine it's what, plus 210, plus 220, somewhere in that range. I'm willing to roll the dice on his grappling ability at that cost.
Yeah, no kidding. Can he piece up Pimblett on the feet, though? Because Pimblett seems everyone he's fought seems to have been able to piece him up on the feet. So who knows? Maybe he's even got him there.
I actually think that's why they gave him Jordan Leavitt, is it seems unlikely that Jordan Leavitt will do that. You know, Jordan Leavitt's looked pretty piss poor on his feet if you look at all the fights. You know, like, not that Matt Saewis is, you know, terrible, but Matt Saewis seemed to be getting him the best of him until it hit the mat. Same with Trey Ogden. You know, Puelish beat the hell out of him on the feet and won that fight. So, yeah, like, I think that's why they picked him, is because, like, they're like, oh, this is a guy who won't hit Paddy hard and will want to grapple with him. But I'm not sure that he isn't a better grappler than Paddy Pimblett. And at, you know, plus 210, it's, or plus 220, somewhere in that range, it's at least close enough for me to want to find out.
Yeah, I see him at plus 210, plus 205. And this is going down July the 23rd, it looks like, on the London card, which will be Curtis Blaydes versus Tom Aspinall at the top. Also Darren Till versus Jack Hermanson. So it's a home fight for Pimblett, but that probably doesn't really matter. He's lost in his home country before.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't count that in as being anything particular. Also, you know, I thought about this too, is like, he, back in the day, and don't get me wrong, he's gotten better since then. He fought Julian Arosa. I think that one was down at featherweight, to be fair. He fought Julian Arosa, who I thought beat him. He wound up losing a decision, but I thought beat him. And I think it's worth noting, like, would you pick Julian Arosa in a fight against Jordan Leavitt?
Probably, I think.
Yeah, but like,
maybe. Yes.
Okay, so it's, you know, like right there, right? Like it's back and forth. You're not sure which one you would pick. So at the end of the day, like, and granted, like I said, that was a while ago, and maybe Paddy's got better, but like, it's at least like a nice analog to put in there and be like, why wouldn't you bet the guy at plus 220?
MMA math, Dan. You're playing some MMA math again, are you?
I am, but like, this one makes sense, right? Like,
see, we're giving you big dogs, what, 2 months out. So there you go. Get on that. The number may even get better, actually.
I bet you it gets better. Yeah. I bet you the money on Paddy comes in hard.
Yeah, you would think so. Any other news that caught your fancy or tickled your fancy or got up in your craw or anything like that, Dan?
No, nothing actually important. I mean, Nick Diaz thinks he's getting a title shot. That's kind of fun.
Oh, really? Well, if Connor can do it, he can do it too, right? Is that what he's thinking? I didn't see that. So, a middleweight title shot?
No, Nick, he thinks
Diaz,
he's gonna,
talking about
Nick Diaz thinks he's fighting Kamaru Usman next. He said, I believe his exact rationale was, I'm not getting any younger. I'm 38. Come on now.
Yeah, that would work. That's worked for other people, so hey, maybe it'll happen. Can't wait to see that, Dan.
Yeah, I had a moment where I was like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I laughed at it for a while, and then I was like, wait a second.
he did get a title shot off of a loss before, so wouldn't be the first time that would happen. I'm looking for a line for Costa Rockhold, but I don't see one. I'm hoping we can get a good line on Rockhold getting destroyed, because that's what's going to happen.
I think so too, but here's the thing. I'm not going to be a guy who jumps out and tries to find like a nice Paulo Costa line, because as good as he's looked in fights, like, my God, hasn't he also looked awful in fights sometimes too? You know what I mean? Like, and he's like tentative and weird,
yeah,
like that.
If he's
like,
drunk.
Yeah. Would it shock you to see in a 3-round fight, especially, Paulo Costa go out there and just like not throw any punches in 2 out of the 3 rounds, win the third or win the first and look great doing it, and then just forget to throw punches the rest of the time and lose 29-28?
Yeah. It depends how much wine you had the night before, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, we can continue to blame that if we want, but also he just fights very odd. Like, his fighting style is as odd as his Twitter account. And like, I'm never going to feel good, especially after the Israel Adesanya fight, where he was, you know, just talking about how he was gonna get after it and then just seemingly forgot to start. Like, I'm never gonna feel good like laying money on that dude.
Yeah, but all it takes is one shot, and Luke Rockhold will be night-night from anyone, from people who punch way less hard than Paulo Costa does.
Yeah, and again, I agree. Like, I wouldn't ever lay money on Luke Rockhold's chin and thinking he's great, but, like, at the same time, like, he is a crafty veteran. He has taken a ton of time off. You know, we're talking about people who have, you know, his chin is a wash. It's really easy to knock him out. Who's knocked him out, dude? Like, it's all people with punching power, right? Like, it's Jan Blankovic and Yoel Romero and Vitor Belfort. Like, yeah, he's been knocked out by those dudes. Like, those are dudes who hit hard.
As does Paulo Costa if he decides to hit. So
if he decides to hit. Big caveat.
Yeah. Hopefully there is enough hesitation like Dan's having to outright pick Costa that it will affect the line and we'll get a juicy line for it, because he's one of my automatic fades is Luke Rockhold. So we'll see. That is a ways off because they keep putting that fight off, it seems. I don't think they have a date set on it now because it keeps getting pushed off. So anyhow, this is not a Luke Rockhold podcast, is it?
I hope. No, it shouldn't ever be.
It should not be. How about we get into Dan's winning plays from the weekend? And we'll see what other mischief we get up to. But first, let me tell you about WynnBET. Make sure you get down on the wins. Bet $50, win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the WynnBET Casino is offering 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. All users can receive a $20 free bet when they win, lose, or push a 3-plus leg. Build your own bet parlay between Thursday and Saturday. Players can take advantage of the offer on the NBA playoffs. But don't do that because the NBA is dumb. So take advantage of, I don't know, MLB, anything else. The match is coming, plus the match, capital T, capital M, is coming to the win, and you can bet it on WynnBET. That will be, we looked it up, and we figured out that is a golf challenge, head-to-head thing between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers versus Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. There's so much to choose from, and the numbers, Brady Rodgers minus 200, Allen Mahomes plus 165. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit WynnBET.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now, on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. All the SGPN guys do as well. It's a game-changing product unlike anything else in the industry, and now you can make money on Sleeper too by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. Main reason I'm excited about over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play the new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. Dan, how were your Sleeper picks? I think you gave us some Atlanta Brave ones last episode.
Oh, I can't remember which ones they were now. I think I only gave you one.
It was Hakuna Matata.
Well, then he definitely had the over in hits because he's been fire lately.
Yeah, Hakuna, I can't remember who else you had. But anyhow, do you have any fresh ones for us right now on this Sunday?
Who's Sunday Night Baseball tonight? Do you know?
Let me see. I will tell you in 1 second. Considering I'm also the baseball editor at Sports Gambling Podcast, I should know these things, right? It is Phillies and Mets in New York.
Phillies and Mets in New York. I'm pitching. Oh,
is Zach Wheeler versus Chris Bassett.
That's a fun one. Take the over on both of their strikeouts. It's just going to be a boring strikeout filled day.
Yep, both men have a lot of cases here. So there you go. Take the overs on the strikeouts for the pitchers tonight over on Sleeper. So here's what you do on your mobile phone. Join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. Join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Oh, yeah, we didn't. I didn't ask you about the Jock Peterson thing. I take it you're well into all of that nonsense that's going on, or you at least know about it, and you saw his interview after the fact.
Yeah, I've actually enjoyed it kind of a lot because also, like, as a Braves fan who got to ride out the second half of the season with Jock last year, he's a lot of fun. He is a hell of a character. So I'm sure he said ridiculously rude things in that group chat. Then, like, the fantasy football thing is just a guise for all of the rude things he actually said.
Yeah, I keep forgetting who slapped him. Why is his name always...
Tommy Pham.
Right, Tommy Pham. Right. And then, yeah, Peterson's interview after explaining it all deadpan is fantastic. It was like almost 5 minutes of him explaining the intricacies of playing fantasy football.
Yeah.
And so ridiculous.
And as we've heard since then from Tommy Pham, like, it had something to do with fantasy football, but it had more to do with him, like, insulting the Padres, who Tommy Pham no longer even plays for, which is kind of funny.
Boy, he's defending the Padres' honor. I guess someone has to. Who else is going to defend the Padres' honor?
Yeah, I was going to say, do they?
No, they don't. It's true. No defending Dan's honor, because he came through for all of you this weekend. That was a transition I am an expert on here after 140 plus episodes. All right. He gave you what, 6 picks. One of the fights didn't happen. Have we heard why the Curatola versus Paiva at CFFC 109 for the vacant flyweight title didn't happen? It was last minute. As of last night, we didn't hear why it got pulled, right?
As of last night, had not found out why. Let me check.
It was supposed to go down Friday, and what, they just said it wasn't happening?
Yeah, I sent a message to somebody to see if they had a reason. Let's see if they've gotten back to me yet. They appear to have not, which is kind of a bummer. I will tell you, I was pretty jacked up for it, too, because Curatolo, who had originally picked at like a pick'em, I think we had him at pick'emons when we recorded, he was up to being like plus 135 or plus 140. The money came in hard on Paiva, and I was like, sweet, this is exciting. And then it didn't happen.
Yeah, no, it was minus 140 when you picked him. You're saying it swung the other way?
It swung the other way, yeah. Wow. Curatolo was a dog by the time the fight happened, would have happened.
And what's your wild speculation on why it didn't happen, Dan? Start a horrible rumor.
I mean, like, let's be honest. It's people traveling large distances to get to a regional fight promotion that likely has less stringent COVID protocols. Like, I don't know, put two and two together. It's probably a COVID thing.
Okay. Usually that is the proper guess. So that did not go down. Cage Warriors 138, Dan's picks there did go down. We should jump into that. Because, did you watch your fights, Dan, that you had these picks on?
I did. The only one I just caught replays of was the one I lost, believe it or not. I, like, turned it off because I had
dear.
A couple
Maybe
other things to do.
The problem.
You came back, it. And they had lost. But then I watched the other ones, and it was easier to watch the other ones because they all ended in less than 4 minutes.
Yes. The main event, Dan hit a plus 160 dog on it as Aliyu beat Webb. He finished him too, did you not?
Yeah, with big
wild... Less than 4 minutes, you said, so yes.
Yeah, big wild punches. It only took him a minute and 40-something seconds. It was a real fun one, too. I will say this, you know, and I think I mentioned before when we were breaking down this fight that, like, Webb wants to grapple... Aliyu is big and muscly, and as long as he doesn't gas out, he should be fine. He was on a pace where he was going to gas out. he was throwing some
muscly guys do, right? Usually.
Yeah. Well, and that, and he was throwing, put that, like, stereotype to bed if you want, and, like, ignore what Joe Rogan says about that. But the dude was throwing some of the widest, wildest punches with his chin up in the air. And I was like, what is he doing in there? And then he landed the big punch that ended the night. So I was like, okay, well, I guess this is exactly what I signed up to bet on, you know, is Leon Aliyu throw wild punches and hoping he doesn't gas out. And he did all that. He didn't gas out. Wound up winning.
Now he is 10-1. What do you think's next for him? Is he has he had a title shot before, or is he going to be in title contention at middleweight now, or what?
So I think because he's 10-1, he's going to be right around there. So this is actually his first fight ever in Cage Warriors. So I don't know if they'll jump him all the way up to the champ. Although James Webb being a guy who's been at the very top of the division, like I guess it warrants that, right? Like he was the middleweight champ for a little while. So who knows? Maybe they do give him a middleweight title fight. Is it Frederick? Or no, Frederick lost it to Bonner. So I think it's Matthew Bonner is the champ there now, if I'm remembering correctly. So, no, I'm missing a title change again. There's been more changes. I'll try to remember.
Some guy has the belt.
Some guy has the belt. Anyway, he wouldn't be a bad one, but the problem is he just looks so sloppy to me. I don't think I'd want to see him fight for the belt yet. Like give him another title challenger type fight.
Any upside for this man? Any UFC potential for this guy?
I mean, he's a middleweight who swings it and bangs it. Like, I mean, it's not middleweight's not the best division in the UFC. So sure, why not? But like, no, he looks, I wouldn't sign him now. He looks sloppy as hell. And he left his chin up in the air for most of the fight.
So everything's a finish.
Yeah. And he left his chin up in the air. Yeah. That's exactly what you want.
Yeah. Slang and bang, dude. He's only what? He was born in 89, so he's 32. So yeah, okay, almost 33. So never mind. All right, so you hit that one. Why do you think the line was so off?
I think ultimately he's a worse martial artist than James Webb. You know, James
Webb. Usually though.
Yeah, James Webb's got a good sub game. He's like more technically sound on the feet, which I also think I maybe misrepresented on Wednesday. I thought Aliyu was going to be a little bit crisper on the feet, and he was not crisp at all. He was just more powerful on the feet. But yeah, it was like power versus everything else. And as you know, it's sometimes in middleweight or any division bigger than middleweight, power beats everything else.
Yep. Cheat codes, as they like to talk about on Heavy Hands, athleticism, power, stuff like that. Doesn't matter if you're good or not. If you're more powerful and or more athletic, that gets the job done a lot of times. So Luke, here's another great transition. Luke Shanks got the job done, right? In the co-main event, submission, rear naked choke. Dan had that one too. In
he did.
Middleweight bout.
Bantamweight bout. Bantamweight bout.
Yeah, bantamweight, yes.
Luke Shanks at middleweight would be... Luke Shanks at middleweight would be wild because he's a guy...
You're concerned as it was.
Yeah, and he's fought down at flyweight, so like going up to bantamweight, already a big step. Middleweight would be huge. But like he looked as good as I thought he was gonna look. He just absolutely swarmed. His opponent looked great. As I've said before, he lost to Jake Hadley, and we kind of all wrote him off as a prospect. But this is a guy who probably will wind up in the UFC one day.
Oh, that's what I was gonna ask. Good, good. You think he's normally a flyweight? Do you think that would probably be his weight class of choice, or did he look good at bantamweight?
I mean, he looked good at bantamweight. I don't think the opponent he beat was particularly like, you know, Josh Reed's good, but like kind of more of a one-dimensional dude. So I'm not sure necessarily that like that's the best weight class for him. But you know, like he had lost one to Sam Creasy and Jake Hadley down a division. So now he's trying out moving up, and who knows, maybe it is going to be better for him. I think maybe the jury's still out until we see him, fight a couple more bantamweights that I think are a little bit more high level.
And then Dan whiffed on the next one, which was a pick'em fight. So no shame in whiffing on that. Tom Mearns beat Orlando Wilson Prinz via unanimous decision. Thoughts on this one? This was at featherweight.
Yeah, I just said the raw athletic guy beats the wily veteran who like actually knows how to put everything together. And it didn't work that way. This was one of the rare instances where that raw athleticism needs to iron itself out a little more.
There you go. How's that for concise analysis? And then
it wasn't that exciting
that you picked. No. Old man Elliott beat our man Hercus Lucosionis at welterweight. Submission, rear naked choke. Dan had this one at -220. The Welsh gangster, aka Evil Elliott, came through.
Yeah, and I said he's just going to overwhelm him with grappling, and that's exactly what he did. He was all over him from start to finish. Luka Yunus being an older kickboxer, you know, I didn't think he could hold up with the grappling of a guy who grapples all the time, and he couldn't. So, yeah, easy one there.
Even after naming an episode after Herkus, he did not come through for us. So that's okay. Dan didn't pick him. So there's always that. So how was the event? Was it a good event to watch or bleh?
I think it was pretty good. You know, like any time I watch Cage Warriors event, I'm usually looking for a couple of like big finishes or like impressive finishes and guys who I think are going to be future UFC guys. You know, Obon Elliott wouldn't surprise me if he wound up in the UFC one day. Luke Shanks, I kind of expect to be. So it was kind of a low barrier of people who I think are going to move on to the next level. But at the same time, I got all those finishes. So, you know, so Cage Warriors event.
And a 3-1 night for Dan. So you can't complain about that. You also can't complain about Athletic Greens or my segues today. We're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy recovery, focus, and aging, all of those things. And it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free, capital F-R-E-E-E, F-R-E-E-E, yeah, I spelled that right, a one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And when you're online, go into athleticgreens.com/SGP. Make sure you're using IPVanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use ISP VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. That would be your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. It's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right. Did you watch the KSW event that went down yesterday as well?
I watched the main event. When I found out Pooj was walking out, I made sure I tuned in.
Yes, I saw highlights of the main event. So you don't have the horrible arm injury on your phone? Like you like to keep injuries on your phone, Dan?
I don't. I have a horrible leg injury from early on Cage Titans had a horrible leg injury? I got one of those that a friend sent me.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. All right. Dan whiffed in the main event. Marius Puzanowski did not whiff on that uppercut. He landed on Mikhail Maturla. So I guess size does matter, Dan. He was what? I think he was only 38 pounds heavier at the weigh-ins. I said only because based on the last weigh-ins, he would have been 74 pounds heavier. But Puzilla really came through there.
Yeah.
It's a uppercut knockout. 147 into the first round. Go ahead.
Yeah. Like I don't know. Again, like this is the beauty of KSW. Is KSW is out there doing things like putting on ridiculous fights just for the sake of putting on ridiculous fights. I love it. But like, this is a middleweight versus a heavyweight. And I was like, in the heavyweight, you know, God bless Maurice Pujanowski, because like that dude went from being a guy winning strongman competitions who we like largely laughed at. And when he moved to MMA, we were like, oh, they're just going to put him in a bunch of freak show fights. And now his arc has come full. He's gone from freak show fights against guys like Bob Sapp, legitimately competitive fights in the middle, and now he's made it all the way back into freak show fights, but like weirdly competitive ones, right? Like, because this is him as a massive, like literally one strongest man competitions. He's like one of the strongest men on earth, and they're putting him in fights with middleweights. But like middleweights who we largely think are faster than him and have a chance to knock him out. So like that was fun. It would be like putting, you know, for no people who don't follow KSW, it'd be like putting, you know, whatever freaky, large, strong heavyweight you've got on hand up against, like, you know, their version of Robert Whittaker, right? Because that's where Mitrla is right now. He's right behind Kolodov in the middleweight division, right? And it looks like now Pujanowski's going to fight Kolodov too. So they're going to give him another middleweight after all. Yeah, another middleweight after all is said and done. So, like, you've got to appreciate that. But also, I'll just say, what a perfectly timed uppercut. It was gorgeous.
No kidding. And he's not a spring chicken either. And he's still winning fights. So, yeah, more power to that guy.
Yeah, and you have to enjoy, too, that he's just, like, gonna be an old guy doing weird fights at this point in time. Like, he could give two shits if he's ever gonna fight for a title. He's, like, out there just making his MMA career simultaneously more and less legitimate.
Yes, and KSW pays, for what I hear, they pay comparable to the UFC, so I'm sure he's making a very nice living doing this too. Scary knockout though, because Mitrla was down for quite a while after that knockout, down and out.
Yeah, he was not looking good, but I will say that's what happens when you're a middleweight who gets hit by a 265 strong man with one of the more brutal uppercuts you've ever seen. Yeah, it takes you a while to get up.
The only issue with KSW is the horrible advertising that fighters plaster all over their skin.
Hey, they're getting paid though.
They are getting paid, but it's annoying.
Yeah, I showed my wife the highlight, tattoo. And she was like, "Is that dude wearing a shirt?" And I was like, "Nah, that's his skin."
Yeah, because it's just on the back of him. When he turns around, you'll see. Yeah, very very strange. So, did you see any? Oh, you only saw that fight. You said so. You didn't see someone's arm get destroyed or Daniel Omelianchuk lose or anything like that. So.
I did just look up on my phone. The guy with the horrible leg break was in Eternal MMA, not Cage Warriors. So my mistake was on Eternal MMA, which, if I'm not mistaken, is an Australian promotion.
Okay, but we don't need to see that unless you're like Dan and you're into that stuff. Did you watch United? Did that event come through where you had a couple guys from there on your podcast last week, Top Turtle?
I did, and in the prospect who I talked to both ends of the fight in question, so it's easy to say I talked to a guy who won, but really hot prospect out of Israel was fighting a guy who came off Contender Series and had a close, straightforward fight, and he not only won, he won in dominant fashion, took down Mariusz Czeskiewicz multiple times, wound up with an arm triangle choke, looked really, really dominant in his grappling, which is... He's like a really interesting prospect because I think he's only like 5'10", but 185 of like solid muscle. And now 6-0, including a win in Bellator. So, and now one over a Contender Series vet who is 10-1. So I think you'll probably see him knocking on the door of something like Contender Series pretty soon too. His name's Eli Aronov. For those of you looking, it looks like Eli, but it's Eli Aronov.
And he seems hell-bent on making the UFC in that interview you gave with him. That was the only goal of his.
Yeah, he could give two shits about Bellator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, I was hoping he'd win. I enjoyed, even though he was fighting Canadian, I enjoyed his interview more. So, good. Glad he won.
Yeah, and glad he looked good doing it, too. Because sometimes you see those Uber prospect ones, and if they have a back-and-forth fight, but neither guy looks all that great. It was good to see Ellie look not just good, but like dominant, and his like judo clearly, like his judo and his wrestling backgrounds clearly both play up in the cage. They factor well. He like mixes in his striking and his grappling well together and uses those skills. So good to see that. That's it probably gives him a pretty high ceiling.
Yeah. So what do you think? Contender Series, or is he probably going to fight some more before that?
So he in the interview said that he did not want to jump right into Contender Series of the UFC after this one. He believes he needs more cage time, which is really good awareness. Like it's weird. I've actually done a whole bunch of interviews lately with people who recognize that they need more cage time. Like when I interviewed Manon Fiorot and asked her, I was like, you know, do you feel like you're ready to get right in there and fight Valentina Shevchenko next? And this was right before she fought Jennifer Maia. She's like, nah, I want to put in some good time with Jennifer Maia. And then I want at least one more to make sure I can rack up the cage time. And hey, there's some news too, that maybe we forgot to mention. Manon Fiorot's got a fight coming up, and it's like the perfect matchup to make sure she's ready for Valentina Shevchenko.
She's fighting our favorite, Caitlin Chookagian.
Yeah, in Paris, too.
Right, yes. So hopefully, I don't hate Caitlin Chookagian, but hoping Manon destroys her.
Yeah, and I don't hate Caitlin Chookagian either.
No, she seems very pleasant, but I just don't like watching the fight.
Yeah, I've done interviews with her, too. She's super nice. I actually think she's, like, a very technically strong fighter. The problem is just, like, first of all, she's already had her time up there, and it didn't go well, and I don't expect it to go well if she ever gets another shot. And you're right, like, it never looks like she's in there finishing or trying to finish. I actually think her grappling is really strong. Like, if you put her in, like, a grappling match, like a sub-only match or something like that, I think she would fare well. She's got, like, good leg lock entries and stuff like that. Those skills just don't translate to the cage well. It always feels like she's, like, going for something that's not there and just kind of, like, being late. Not lazy. Lazy is the wrong word, but, like, being sloppy with it a little bit. That's always kind of hard to watch. She is very, you know, objectively a very great fighter. And also, like, I think it's just, like, the right kind of test for Manon Fiorot, right? Like, somebody who is, you know, as technical of a striker as her is a good test for her.
Yep. Looking forward to that. That's this summer, right? Coming up?
Not until September. I think Paris card is September 3rd, if I'm
correct.
Not mistaken.
So, like, Labor Day weekend then, yes. All right, cool. You know what? I remembered a while ago, and then I forgot it, and then I remembered again. We've left everyone hanging for a month or so now. We never found out what was clogging your kitchen drain, Dan. Remember?
It was just wear and tear of a 50-year-old house, sadly.
Oh,
it wasn't anything in particular. It was, but I did take out over 9 feet of piping out of my basement and had to replace it all. So
Dan's bragging again.
Yeah.
He's got 9 feet of pipe that he took out in his basement, quote unquote.
Is that a euphemism?
Feet. No Manscaped this week, but it's always a Manscaped podcast. My bet was it was going to be a Spider-Man action figure, but I guess I lost there. Too bad.
Yeah. Nothing exciting pulled out of there. Just 9 feet of pipe. That's all.
but there is a loose dinosaurs in your house right now. You told me before the podcast the air. So if you hear any screaming or roaring, it's because there's dinosaurs trying to eat Daniel's children upstairs.
There are, in fact, doing that. Yes. Right now.
All right. So killing time because, you know, we've gone through all the topics, but no.
We haven't gone through all the topics. Ricky Tercios is about to fight again, too.
We already talked about that last episode, dude.
Oh, we did. Did you drop a dude because it was Ricky Tercios, or was that just a happy coincidence?
No, I didn't. That was just normal, but yeah, he is okay. The dude guy. Is he going to be on Top Turtle soon, I hope?
Of all of the people who I've tried to get interviews with, Ricky Tercios is probably one of the ones I put the most effort into because I was like... Yeah. It seems like talking to him is just genuinely fun. Like, based on what I've seen on The Ultimate Fighter, which we haven't talked about this season, The Ultimate Fighter at all, probably because you're continuing to not watch. But, like, all I saw from him on the last season, The Ultimate Fighter, was he just seems like a delightful human being to talk to. And, I don't think he does very many interviews. I think he's kind of a candid guy when it comes to that.
What if Turkios talked to Kyler Phillips? How would that go?
Here's the thing, though. I don't want to put my foot in my mouth here. Tercio seems like he's more genuinely that way. And, like, there's almost, like, a level of, like, I don't want to say pompousness, but there's, like, a level of, like, braggadociousness in what Kyler Phillips is saying about his zen-ness. Whereas, like, Ricky doesn't ever claim to be zen. He just tells a story. Did you ever hear that story about him in a post-fight or pre-fight interview where they asked him how, like, the weight cut was going or something like that? And he was like, man, yesterday I was sleeping.
Yes.
And when I was sleeping, I was having a dream. And that dream was I was eating chicken wings. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? So his, like, seems more authentic, whereas Kyler Phillips, it seems like he's talking about his fighting style when he's pretending to be zen or actually being zen. So... I don't think they would. I think they would actually clash pretty hard.
Okay, I just thought there'd be a lot of dudes and
there would be a lot of dudes,
chill back vibes,
a lot of bros. And, yeah, Yeah.
All right, you brought up Ultimate Fighter. Is there anything worth speaking of that's happened so far on there? Is there any good prospects we should keep our eyes on? Any like our man Andre Petrosky types?
I don't think so yet. So like I've seen a couple of fights. The only in perfect heavyweight fashion too. Like the only heavyweight who's looked like a really great prospect so far is a light heavyweight fighter who snuck his way onto the show as a heavyweight. Zach Pauga usually fights 205. He gets in there and looks like an absolute animal that nobody can stop so far. And we'll probably drop right down to 205 and be a mediocre 205er pretty soon. So that's kind of a weird one. On the women's side, they already needed a replacement fighter because one woman was about to miss weight by 30 pounds.
What? Which,
yeah. So Chantel Coates. So it's kind of a really for spoiler alert for those of you who haven't watched Contender or the Ultimate Fighter yet, but I'm going to fill Jeff in on air. She came into the house having just dealt with the flu, COVID, and a miscarriage back to back to back. And so like her body wasn't losing weight at all. And you can blame any of those three things, you know, probably some more than others. But like they picked her to fight and she stepped on the scale and she was like 150 or 153 or something like that. And then they're like, oh, let's see how much you lose overnight. And she was down to like 148 with like 3 days to go. And like the coaches were like, we're not putting you through like a 23-pound weight cut here. That's not going to go well. Let's just get an alternate on. And so they got the alternate, but like immediately showed her the door. They like packed her stuff up and sent her on her way, which is kind of weird because like, I feel like all the people they've ever kicked off the show for not making weight, was only because they like actually stepped on the scale heavy and didn't make it. I don't think I ever remember somebody like just with like 4 days to go being like, well, ain't gonna happen. So I guess I'll see you later. And I kind of already knew it was coming too, because on Twitter the other day, I saw a fight booking for Chantel Coates, and I was like,
"Oh, really?
Oh, that's weird." Because usually they don't do that during the show; they don't announce it because it like jeopardizes your ability to get a fight with the UFC. But I guess she's not concerned about that because the UFC is never going to give her that shot.
That's crappy. Usually, I badmouth people who miss weight, but I'm not going to in this case.
Yeah, that was the thing too. Is like everybody was super understanding, like. Muhammad Usman, Kamaru's brother, was like trying to comfort her and being like, you got to do what's right for you. And Juliana Pena is like, unfortunately, really likable on the show, which is kind of annoying. She's like, she's super compassionate towards her fighters and like really nice and like has these little like game planning sessions with them and where she gives them pep talks about how good they are. And like, it's a little bit cornball, which you can kind of expect from her. But at the same time, like, she's made herself like at least an iota of endearing, which is not her usual MO. She's usually like nauseating. So she hasn't said anything nauseating yet.
Well, that's positive. She's a champion. Do you realize that?
I do.
It's crazy, right?
I fucking unfortunately really do understand that. Although it's really fun. And every like intro or like cut scene where they show both of the coaches, like they always make sure Nunes has got her title over her shoulder.
Yes, I noticed.
Too.
Yeah, I noticed photos of that. Yeah.
They're really laying into that they're both champions, which is, I mean, I guess if you're going to sell their next fight, like that's the best way to do it. You know, to say that they're both champions, despite the fact that like one fights in a, speaking of one fights in her own division, there's a featherweight fight being booked. I think for August 20th, I think I saw. Yeah, that Danielle Wolf, who got the contract on the Contender Series at 1-0, she's like a kickboxer, and like didn't look all that good on Contender Series, but they're like, oh, we need featherweights. I'm like, do you need featherweights? Isn't that just where you put all your bantamweights who can't cut weight anymore? But anyway, they put her up against the bantamweight who can't cut weight anymore in Norma Dumont.
perfect. And I'm sure it's the number one contender fight, right?
I mean, like, can you honestly, like this is going to sound so mean, but could you honestly put a 1-0 kickboxer who, like, outpoints Norma Dumont anywhere near Amanda Nunes and have a commission clear it? Because I don't think a commission would even clear that, right?
That's true.
Amanda Nunes against somebody who's 2-0. Like, I feel like that gets shut down.
Yeah, just give Holly Holm the next featherweight title shot.
God, it does feel like that, doesn't it? She just she just lost, but there is also no reason not to.
She did lose. I don't think she lost that fight.
I will say I'm really glad that, like, despite the fact that I think this Juliana Pena thing's kind of annoying and, like, Amanda Nunes is the better fighter, it is going to just chew up time in the bantamweight division while we, like, actually figure out real contenders. And it's going to make people not want to do a featherweight fight for a while. Because, right, like, if Amanda Nunes goes out there and starches Juliana Pena, we're just getting part three in February, yeah. Right? Or part three in November, or part three somewhere around there. And then Ketlin Vieta can fight somebody again. And who knows? Maybe they'll actually sign some featherweights or, you know, somebody makes their run up the bantamweight division at that point in time. And we get a little bit closer to actually having some contenders.
Or maybe if Nunes wins, then they will finally retire the featherweight championship and just put it to bed.
I don't think they will. Like, because again, here's the thing. If they do, and she goes and fights, like, I think they like just being able to have her belt available.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, like,
never be champ.
Well, yeah, and, like, imagine she beats Juliana Pena, but also, like, breaks her orbital with the right hand, which is totally within question, right? Like, I think a big right hand crushes Juliana Pena's orbital. She's out until next May. They're not just going to not fight Amanda Nunes for that amount of time, and you don't have a good bantamweight contender right now unless you're jacked up on Ketlin Vieta after that big win. So then you just do somebody at featherweight, right? And you keep Juliana Pena, like, in the holster for the trilogy fight, because also the other thing is you don't want to fuck up the trilogy fight, right? Like, the trilogy fight sells tickets. So if she wins, I think it's even less likely that she drops that, because it gives her a chance to defend without messing up the trilogy.
Yep, that's true. But this is a ways down the road. We do have a UFC event coming up next weekend. Dan got mad at me when I poo-pooed it. Volkov versus Rozenstruik. You're really jacked about Alexander Volkov versus Jairzinho Rozenstruik for some reason.
It really depends on which Jairzinho Rozenstruik shows up, though. Right? Like, because, like, if the good version of him shows up where he's, like, coming out to take your head off, he's really fun to watch, and Volkov could pick him apart. But I also really like the co-main event.
Right.
Danny Gay Mozar Evloev is, like, a really fun fight. We're getting a Alonzo Menafield fight, which are always kind of crazy. Damon Jackson is fighting. Dan Argueta is filling in on late replacement to fight him, who is a guy coming off the Ultimate Fighter I thought should have gotten a shot right away. They made him go win the LFA title first. He did that. Jeff Molina is never boring. Aaron Blanchfield's in this fight. Joe Selecki's here. Karolina Kovalkiewicz, coming off a 5-fight losing streak, will be fighting
against Felice Herrig. So two who we have not seen for a decade, it seems.
Do you know who the last person Karolina Kovalkiewicz beat was?
No.
Felice Herrig. It was Felice Herrig. No.
Well, we definitely need, though. How long ago was that?
Man, it was 5 fights. So hang on, let me pull it up. Let me get the intern on. But the last person she beat was Felice Herrig by split decision in April of 2018.
Boy, we need that rematch, Dan. Thank God it's happening finally 4 years later.
It's the one I've been clamoring for since April 7th of 2018.
Of course. So there you go. Dan's got you hyped for that fight card, of course. And then after that, we got UFC 275, who I will be making picks on UFC Fight Pass. I'm going on the UFC by the numbers gambling show to record a segment making
with
picks
my boy with Yanni
with our friend Yanni on it. So do you want to give me some picks quickly here that I can think over? I'm obviously the one that jumps out at me right now is Jack Della Maddalena, who is almost in a pick'em fight against Ramazin Emiev, hopefully I'll mispronounce lots. Emiev, hopefully I'll mispronounce a lot on the show. He's about -120. I like that number. Am I wrong to like that number?
No, I think you're right on, like, in that number too, because Emiev is a guy who I think gets a lot of benefit from his last name sounding like a dangerous wrestler type, yeah. Right? And he largely just spams takedowns and doesn't do well with them. Like, if you go back to his fight with Anthony Rocco Martin, who's no longer in the UFC, For reasons that probably make quite a bit of sense. But anyway, Ramazan Emiev went 0-9 trying to take him down. 0-9. And, you know, he just lost a split decision to Danny Roberts. He went 2-7, taking Danny Roberts down. Like, I don't think his wrestling is good enough to hang with Jack Della. And, like, I have largely not been impressed with any other facet of his game. Dude, he went 1-9 trying to take Sam Alvey down. Like, yeah, like, I do really like Jack Della in that fight. Here's another one I'll throw at you, too. I haven't looked at the line yet, but just looking at the fight card itself that I think is kind of a fun pick is I think Jacob Malkin has got a really good shot against Brendan Allen.
Plus 190 for Malkin.
Yeah, I think that's a sleeper pick right there because Malkin, dude, he's an Abu Dhabi qualifier. I think people forget how good of a grappler he is. He lost that first fight to Phil Hawes by knockout in like 10 seconds. And since then, he's just dominated with his grappling for two straight fights and against two hyper-athletic dudes in Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, who's a judo black belt, and AJ Dobson, who's really tough in there too. So, yeah, like I just think in general, he's got a good chance against Brendan Allen, who's, you know, a good grappler in his own right. Like he's got like 10 submissions or something like that. And he's a, you know, black belt in jiu-jitsu, which is, you know, very legit in his own way. But like, I don't know, like he couldn't continuously take Chris Curtis down, who I don't think of as being a wrestler and who has lost fights that way before. You know, he couldn't take Sean Strickland down, who kind of beat him up that way. I don't know that I'd put Malkin in those boats as far as their skills go, but I do think he's a good grappler who could stuff him. So that's kind of a sleeper pick right there.
Yeah, Matthews he's not beaten anyone of note since the Leech back in like 4 years ago. Like
we're talking about different fights. I said Brendan.
Oh.
He's fighting Brendan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Allen.
Yes. Brendan. Yes. I'm thinking Jacob Matthews. Yes. I get
who's also on this fight card too, right?
Yes. I'm getting the two confused. Yeah, Brendan Allen. I'll take that one into consideration. Maybe I'll sprinkle a little bit of money on that one.
Matthews is fighting Fialho on like
right. That's the tough one.
Which is going to be one of those insanely short turnaround. I have to figure out how I feel about him fighting three times in just a little bit over a month's time or almost 2 months time for Fialho, right? Because he beat Baeza in the middle of April, then he beat that Cameron Van Camp. Both of those fights under a round. Now he's getting Jacob Matthews, which is a different animal than those first two. And I don't know about that one. That one's tough.
-150 for Fialho.
He's a favorite in that though,
yeah.
Huh?
So maybe
I think we pass on that one. That's a weird one. I do like another one you could take a quick stab at, and I won't give away too much because we do have to actually break down this fight card at some point in time. Down on the bottom of the card, Na Liang is fighting. It's her second fight in the UFC, and she is a dog against Silvana Gomez Juarez, which I think is a mistake. Like Na Liang, I don't know if you remember in her debut, she looked amazing out of the gate. She looked so fucking good against Ariane Carnelosi, who, by the way, Ariane Carnelosi, you know, like, apart from the recent loss to Lupita Godinez, in like unfortunately getting stopped by cuts against Angela Hill on short notice, has looked amazing, right? And Na Liang beat the hell out of her in the first round and then just literally had no gas left in the second round.
Yeah,
Silvana Gomez Juarez is a girl who's just been fucking dominated in the grappling department. So like, Na Liang can probably hang there, right? Like she's been armbarred twice in her two UFC stints. Na Liang might be the right person to do it again, and that's dog money there too.
Yep, very true. Title fights, I'll probably avoid. Yuri's a pretty big favorite, like the -200 range. Probably just avoid that one. Shevchenko is a pretty safe pick, though, right? It's -600, but still.
I actually think at -600, she's a terrible value. I think Talia Santos is like one of the better challengers she's had, right? Because Talia Santos stuffs takedowns, right, and scores them herself. She's actually got a very similar style to Shevchenko in like what she wants to do. Maybe not how she does it, but what she wants to do. Which is like mixing enough takedowns to keep you guessing, hold you there, frustrate you, tire you out, beat the shit out of you on the feet. And like if she's just beating the shit out of you on the feet in the first place, she'll just hang there. But like, yeah, that's not bad. I don't think I'd jump it at Shevchenko at negative 600. And I'm seeing her, some books have her negative 800. I will say on your first point about Prohashka, though, like if you're going to bet Prohashka, you might as well bet him by knockout. It's not like he's going five rounds with Glover. Glover's either subbing him or Glover's getting knocked out.
Yeah, that's true. He's not going to submit Glover. So, yeah, Jiří versus via KO may be a good prop bet, even though I try to avoid props. But that one kind of jumps out at you.
Yeah, under a round and a half is kind of a fun prop, too. Plus 117, I'm seeing.
Interesting. Well, that's we have a ways to off before we give you official picks for that. But Blood Diamond's on this card, too, I see.
He's underdog. Not anymore. That fight got pulled.
Oh, no. The Kosuke fight got pulled.
Yeah, he Blood Diamond pulled out. They're not finding a replacement for Kosuke.
Boo. Boo to that.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. Oh, well, Manel Cape is on it still, so that's good. Minus 220, though, even though I think he's going to beat Bontorin, no problem, but still, minus 220 is probably a little too steep for me.
Well, now you got stuff to think about, though.
Yep, it's true. It's true. All right, we've given you guys enough to think about on this non-UFC recap show. So we'll be back on, how about Wednesday? We'll meet up with you people again. We'll talk about the Volkov versus Rozenstruik fight card. In the meantime, Jeff Fox, writer on Twitter. He's Gumby Vreeland. Read all our stuff at sportsgumbypodcast.com. Read my MMA stuff at moneymma.substack.com. You won't be able to listen to Dan's shows yet, but because they probably won't be out yet, but it's Prelim Primer and Top Turtle MMA podcast. But I'll tell you about those. I'm sure Dan will plug those plenty next show. Anything else we need to tell the people, Dan?
No, I think you got it all.
I'm going to let you take us home this week. Go right ahead.
All right, I'm Theodore Gibby Freeland. He is Biggie Boy Jeff Fox, and we will catch you on Wednesday.